I am curious to know what prompted you to put this exhibit together.
Well, back in August when Ashley Ireland, the Dean of Libraries, brought me on, basically my instructions were poke around and see what we have on hand at Rather, and go through the archives, and whatever strikes your fancy, pull it together in some sort of exhibit in any way that that you think is appropriate. And I have a longstanding interest in John F. Kennedy. My grad research was on him when I was a history student working on a PhD, and I'm working on a book about his Vietnam policy now. But I wasn't planning on going in that direction. It just so happened that I couldn't stop stumbling over all of this JFK memorabilia. Literally, there were boxes and boxes of things like coins, medals from the lunar landing, and 50-cent pieces, and postcards, and magazines, and magazines, and magazines. And when I saw this stuff, I realized, okay, well, yes, I do want to go in this direction, and there is more than enough material here to support it. So what we have now over in Rather, the room, is it's basically made up of material that we had on hand. We did get some items loaned to us from Western Kentucky University, but I pulled together a bunch of stuff that we already had in Rather, in the basement, in the archives, in Pogue, posters we had on the wall that people probably walked by a million times and didn't really notice. So this is very much a DIY project. It's Murray State stuff for the most part, and I can't believe I got paid to do this, but it was a whole lot of fun just going through all of this Kennedy paperwork and the historical documents and letters from the congressmen and the political bosses, and just getting their inside thoughts on his candidacy and how they thought he was going to play in the state, and particularly here in Jackson Purchase County. So I learned a lot about Kentucky going through all of this material, and I appreciated that opportunity as well.
Well, it kind of goes without saying that, you know, people who have lived here for any length of time, who are exposed to any degree of Kentucky politics, realizes that it's a full contact sport, one.
Yeah.
But that this area in particular has had there's a very strong conservative strain that runs through. It always has, if you look back even as far, even previous to the American Civil War, when this was the pro-Confederate area of the Commonwealth. And I'm interested to hear what you found in how this area responded, because it seems to me that this was a very solidly Democratic area for many, many years, and here you have, in 1960, the Democratic nominee coming, and yet there's this very strong resistance to him. I'm curious to know if it's centered around his Catholicism.
His candidacy posed a lot of awkward questions for people in the region. The Jackson Purchase was called the Gibraltar of democracy. This was Kentucky as a whole doesn't always, it's not locked down solid South territory for the Democratic Party, but it mostly votes for Democratic candidates up until the Nixon era. But the Jackson Purchase, this is about the safest part of the country for a Democrat to run during this period. But we have to keep in mind that perhaps it's not the most significant hurdle to surpass, but Kennedy was the first Catholic president. He was the first non-Protestant president of the United States. And the Democratic Party had fielded a Catholic in 1928, Al Smith, governor of New York, very accomplished guy. Actually, the first time he ran for the party's nomination in 1924, there was a huge Klan push to block him. And that succeeded. He got the nomination in 28, and it was an absolute bloodbath. He was just completely blown out of the water by Herbert Hoover. And the issue was not his track record. It wasn't how he'd done on the job in a big, important state like New York. It was just simply the fact that he was a Catholic. And the issue for people back then, and this is something that would come up in polite conversation, people didn't shy away with it, it's that they thought that if you were a Catholic and you're running for political office, your ultimate loyalty was to the Pope in Rome rather than the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
And the fear was that if we get a Catholic president, he's going to take orders from a foreign power, essentially.
Right.
And in 1960, he still had to address questions like this on the campaign trail. And It came to a head. He was at a meeting. He was speaking to a Protestant group in Houston on the campaign trail in 1960. And he just came at it head on and he said, look, you know, nobody asked my brother, his older brother, Joe Kennedy. He said, nobody asked my brother if he was a Protestant or a Catholic when he got in that plane that crashed in the English Channel and died fighting for this country in the Second World War. That was a turning point for a lot of people. But there were a lot of voters in 1960 who simply couldn't look past the fact that he was a Catholic. Locally, statewide, in Massachusetts and in the Northeast, being a Catholic is, you know, probably an asset. Kennedy wins the primary in Wisconsin, heavily Catholic state, by a huge margin. So it plays well in some parts of the country, and it doesn't play well in others. And Kennedy wanted to win Kentucky. He didn't write the state off, and he knew he had a very significant hill to climb here, convincing evangelical voters. And I think he laid some of the groundwork by investing a lot of time in West Virginia, and he would go down and meet with miners and in his Brooks Brothers suit. However, he was very genuine when he listened to their concerns, and he talked about poverty relief programs, getting the federal government involved in dealing with endemic poverty in the Appalachian region.
Right.
And he won over. Now, West Virginia is even a more, in 1960, more uniformly Protestant state than Kentucky is. And he did win over West Virginia. He tried to touch on some similar things when he was in Kentucky, but actually he wasn't successful here. But actually, when we're talking about this sectarian divide, remember back to 2012, there were actually not many people, but there were some people suggesting that Mitt Romney, as a Mormon, might not actually even be a Christian. That you remember that.
Right.
That this
yeah.
is only 5 years ago. So when we keep that in mind, that's in our very recent history, it's probably not that difficult to imagine some of the obstacles Kennedy faced as a Catholic in 1960.
And, well, you could even go so far as to include someone like Keith Ellison in that,
yep.
who is a Muslim, a congressman from Michigan, and took his oath of office on the Quran. So how much of that conversation is in this exhibit?
Well, we have letters from people who were politically active in the region. One example would be Harry Lee Waterfield, who was, at this point, he was between terms as lieutenant governor for Kentucky.
Right.
And he was weighing his options, the idea of making a run for the governorship or making a run for the U.S. Senate. This was kind of all rolling around in his head at the time. So he had to make sure that he didn't really take any strong stance advocating for any particular candidate who might have alienated potential supporters. So in his private correspondence, he's extremely pro-Kennedy. He's like, this guy is young. He's dynamic. He's talking about Kentucky issues. He cares about us, but I'm going to tell you that I'm voting for him. However, I'm not going to broadcast that over the state
right.
because it might cost me down the line. And one of the things, I mean, we live in a world, it is like 24-hour political coverage. We know what the president is doing almost down to the minute now, and everybody's got an opinion about what the president's doing, and When I go back and I look through the Stubblefield papers, this is our representative from the region. He has absolutely nothing to say in any of his letters and any of his personal notes about John F. Kennedy running for president. This is a guy, like a very young guy, dynamic 40-something-year-old who's, you know, spent 2.5, 3 days in Kentucky very late in the campaign because he wants it. And Stubblefield is just, he's mute. He doesn't want to hitch his candidacy for the House to Kennedy's run for the presidency because I think it's pretty obvious he knows that he's going to lose more votes than he's going to win if he, you know, tries to portray himself as a Kennedy Democrat.
How long is this exhibit going to be in place?
We run all the way through March 14th. The whole idea was to go with symmetrical start and close dates.
Right.
I think possibly the centerpiece of the exhibit are these photographs that were loaned to us from Western Kentucky University, the archives over there. Mm-hmm. So when Kennedy's out on the campaign trail, he goes to Louisville a couple times, he goes to Bowling Green, and he speaks in front of City Hall, and then he kind of makes a whistle-stop speech at the Paducah airport before he blows town. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of those, well, I got 15 minutes, so I might as well say something from the top of the stairs. But when he went to Bowling Green, this was a very big to-do. He's out there with the mayor, Robert Graham, and speaking in front of City Hall. Throngs and throngs of people. A local car dealer gave him a convertible, and you know, he drives around town. People, like, you can just imagine this. Okay, you got kids like basically on top of each other with their hands in the chain link fence, just basically trying to get some sort of vantage point so they can see Kennedy go by. And in Bowling Green, there were tons of people who had their Kodaks out, and they just snapped pictures. Mm. And some of these pictures are just, I'm so impressed with what was submitted to Western Kentucky when they put this call for photos out a couple of years ago. There's one print in particular that I absolutely love, and it's a picture of Kennedy, and he's got a smile on his face, and there's a group of about three or four kids, maybe 6-7 years old, and they are just beaming like it's, you know, Christmas Eve. Yeah. And then you see this Secret Service guy, and he is trying to be stern and serious, and the grin is creeping up on his face. And then behind him, there's a police officer who's also, he's broken town too, and he's got a huge smile on his face.
Right.
And there's joy, actually, and it's very genuine, and it's pretty touching. Hmm. And there are some other great shots we've got too, but I think that's the one I love best. It's just Kennedy signing the autograph books of these little kids in Bowling Green.